Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
High noon in the District of Columbia. B, Mitch, and Finley here. We're fired up to get to the Rude Guest Hotline and talk to our friend Mr. Chris Miles, NBA TV down in Atlanta. Chris, what's up, dude? How you been?
Good, man. Last couple times I was on the show, you were off, man. Maybe on vacation or something. Good to hear your voice.
Is this a setup? Something tells me.
I didn't say nothing.
not at all. I'm saying good to hear your voice, man. Good to hear your voice.
I appreciate
that.
But
he wasn't lying.
Dude, let's talk. Let's start with pretty big news out of the NBA. I'm not sure I'm surprised, but still, considering everything he's accomplished, Greg Popovich stepping down in San Antonio.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last story of him passing out at a restaurant was kind of like, man, I mean, he was out, you know, this whole season, and you kind of heard the rumors of like, this man just needs to take care of his health. And I think once the last incident, I want to say that was about a month ago, once that news broke, this felt inevitable. Clearly, you know, Hall of Fame career, one of the legends. I would say if you look at an NBA history, top, you know, 3, 4, 5 coach ever. So, you know, hopefully he's able to live a long life from here and take care of himself physically. You know, we've heard all the stories of how dedicated he is to basketball and how much it means to him. So we know that he's going to miss coaching, but I think it's the best thing for him.
He's going to miss it, but I just think he needs to invest that same level of determination and all that he had in the sport into himself. So he could take care of himself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know what kind of lifestyle coaches lead at his age. He just says, yeah, man. Yeah.
Let me ask you, Miles. I mean, Pop, I know a lot of people really loved him. He kind of played up the jerk bit whenever he did sideline interviews. I think that was largely because he just didn't think they should be done. But behind closed doors, I was always told he was a really brilliant gentleman. Did you interact with him at all? What was he like? What is he like?
No, but here's the deal. I didn't interact with him that much, and it's kind of interesting in that way because I do get the opportunity to interact with a lot of coaches.
Right.
But, I mean, at least 20 to 25 guys that played for him, including Danny Green, Steve Smith, you know, guys who won championships with him, and they tell all of the detailed stories and what it's like playing for him and how it's a one-of-a-kind experience. And that there's a reason he's won so many championships. And it depends on the kind of player and the nuance and the kind of control that he had. But, you know, a lot of times you hear, oh, that coach isn't as great as people say, or that player, you know, you're missing this and that. Well, Greg Popovich, it's never that. Mm-hmm. You've never heard he's not as great. It's kind of like, you know, the most I've ever heard is how controlling he is. And he's a head coach, right? Like, what kind of head coach is great and not very controlling? So right. I think that aspect of it, having the privilege of being around so many, Robert Horry is another guy that, like, who played for him, tell the stories of what makes him different and what makes him better in the sense of his relationships with players. And now he knows how to treat every player a certain way and really get to know them and maximize their skill sets is not something that every coach can do.
Not at all.
I would think, and I don't know that this is, I would think kind of the greatest coach of this generation is Phil Jackson, but then Pop's right behind him. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, and I would say that's the previous generation, because this generation now would say maybe Eric Spoelstra. Some would say Steve Kerr. I don't know about that one when we, you know, working and looking at the X's and O's. I would go Spoelstra.
The Heat scored 33 and a half. They scored 33 points in a first half, Miles. I don't know. Now's the time to be hyping up Spo.
Well, I mean, look, man, you can't win without talent, right? Like, I mean, first of all, Spo's already been named the top 15 coach in NBA history, right? This is the worst timing. But look, they were the first 10th seed to make the NBA playoffs. Like they went in for, they're not supposed to be there, right? You look at that team, well, you're like, oh my gosh.
So you hit
on
something.
They weren't supposed to be there.
That B and I were yelling about, at least I was yelling about earlier last week. I'm really excited for the second round of the NBA playoffs, and there have been some really good series. I think, Bucks Pacers was kind of entertaining. Some of these West Coast series have been really good. It's time to abolish the play-in. It's awful. It just leads to more bad basketball. The playoffs is about good basketball, not the bad stuff we watch during the regular season. Mm-hmm. I want the play-in out of my life.
Well, so I'll push back on it in this way. I think the actual play-in, I'm with you. I'm out on those games. As someone that has to watch games all year, I'm like, oh, man, these are just not very good. But here's where the play-in works. When you get into the time of year where teams quit, those teams for the play-in, a lot of them are not quitting, right? So, like, take the Chicago Bulls. You know, they gave us that great comeback against the Los Angeles Lakers because they're fighting, you know, to get in the play-in when Kevin Herter is giving LeBron James eye candy and Josh Giddey hits a half-court shot. So I think what it helps is basketball in January, February, and March, it gives us more teams competing. And then teams trying to get to that sixth seed, right, that a lot of times if you're like, oh, I'm 6, 7, 8, who cares? Well, now you don't want to be 7, 8, 9, 10 because you don't want to have to play those extra games. Mm-hmm. So I do think it brings a lot more oomph to the end of the regular season that most certainly was not there before. But you have a new conundrum because you get like 3 or 4 days of games where you're like, yeah, I don't know if I really care if the Kings are battling it out to make the playoffs just to get their heads beat in the first round.
Chris,
That's fair. I hear all those points, and it's kind of funny because I look at this through my prism as a Wizards Bullets fan, right? And I think for far too long, like, the play-in wasn't always there, but the Wiz were clinging to just being
just
a playoff team, and
yeah.
that was a good season.
They thought it was enough.
Even though we all kind of started to realize, like, yo, this thing is going nowhere. What is the point? I think the play-in allows more organizations to do that, to just keep pretending that what they're doing matters. That said, as I am all in on the current Wiz rebuild and everything, I'd love for them to get in the play-in next year because I'd be fired up to watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. See, like, even what you're saying now, if you're like, great point. If you're a Wizards fan, it's been like, all right, it's been 4 years of this or 3 years of this, whoever wants to clock it back. And I'm like, oh, so if we get, you know, the number one pick or the second pick in the draft, let's not even go Cooper. Let's go Dylan Harper. Oh, I got Bub and Dylan. Now we got two young guards that can cook. And let's say you sign somebody else and like, oh, we can make the play-in. There's a hope there. And then if you're the ninth seed, you're like, we wouldn't have been in the playoffs before. Let's bump up and try to get to 8. And then maybe we catch a team with an injury in the first round. Like, it does bring this like unreasonable amount of hope. And I think that is good for the NBA in that sense. I do wish, like, I mean, I feel like we had some decent play-in games, like the Hawks and the Bulls. I remember that was a good one. Trae Young kind of, like, quit on the last play, kind of, or the Hawks and the Heat. Like, that was a good one. So, like,
well, B pointed out, to watch the Warriors in the play-in out west.
Yeah.
Them and the Lakers are in it every year. Like,
right.
Okay, but what about the Lakers? What the hell happened to the Lakers?
I mean, what I thought was going to happen.
My idea is an old man now, and you got another dude that refuses to get in shape.
Look, you know what? You've heard me talk about this, B. Mitch, and I sounded like a crazy person when the Mavericks made the trade, in the sense of
you came
I had
up with
so
us.
Much
yeah.
intel down there. You yeah. heard me say it. I'm like, look, Now, first of all, I had a love fest with Luka Doncic when he came into the league. Look at his rookie year highlights. He doesn't look like that anymore. All of the people within that organization that were complaining about things, they wanted Luka to succeed. They needed Luka to work out, and they were like, all right, this enough is enough. Mm. And then you kind of saw it, and you see how J.J. Redick is acting. He is acting like everyone inside the Dallas Mavericks organization already. He's like, what did he say? He said, we got to get in championship shape. Look at that team. There's only one person he could possibly be talking about. The rest of those guys are in great shape. But when you see Anthony Edwards, a guy that was maligned for, you know, not having the basketball IQ, work on his conditioning and talk to LeBron and talk to KD. See, that's the thing, like, take me behind the curtain a little bit. I know you asked about the Lakers. But Anthony Edwards, who's maligned for some of this off-the-court stuff, right? He doesn't drink alcohol. That is a fact. If you want to find him, you find him in the gym. If you want to talk to him, you talk to him about basketball, right? Same thing. You know what I mean? Like, so that's the kind of guy he is. And we're seeing that evolution on the court. And he's coming at you. And that's why he's the people's champ. Mm-hmm. There's a reason he's a fan favorite. It's because of those things.
Well, I think for so much was made of how dumb the Mavericks were to trade away Luka. And Luka and LeBron could go on to win a title, and they go out in 5 games.
Hmm.
Now, I think the Timberwolves were like the exact wrong matchup for them. Just because Ant's so physical. But, like, dude, they got Jaden McDaniels, Naz Reid. Like, T-Wolves could play, man. DiVincenzo all of a sudden is like a hard ass. But I think where Dallas really messed up is have an open auction for Luka. If you want to get rid of him, make it clear everybody in the league can come get him and maximize what you can get in return. But I don't know, man. The NBA has so many sycophants that just like say the same thing over and over. But I think you really got to examine Luka after this. Like, maybe he wasn't healthy
Look, man, we examined him after the 2023 Western Conference Finals. That was in our workspace, right? You know how it is, JP, when you're covering the Washington football team, and you know of something,
right,
but it's really not public yet, and you're like, I don't know if I want to go with that one, right? So our examining of Luka happened after they went to the Western Conference Finals before they went to the NBA Finals. And I think I came on your show and told you this, the difference between Luka and Kyrie after that Game 3 loss in the finals, right? Like, Kyrie's with his family, with the teammates. I'm like, I'm not going to bother him. He separates, hey, Chris. I'm like, oh, snap. Like, he's still talking to us? And you know how that is when a team loses and they know, like, their season is over. Like, that guy showed that kind of, like, leadership and personality. And look, no knock on Luka, but he was, like, over there by himself, not, you know, talking to his teammates, not trying to bring them back up. I noticed things like that when you have that behind-the-curtain look. And, again, that's not saying, like, Luka Doncic is a terrible human being, because he's not. I like Luka. But when a guy is, if you're talking about paying a guy $350 million in our contract, like, you have to be in the best shape. You have to, like, your body has to hold up. You have to be that guy. And, you know, LeBron James at 40, that's the best you're going to get out of a 40-year-old body.
It's unbelievable.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. Like, you're not going to get more out of it. And if you saw LeBron talk to Ant-Man, he's like, now you got it. Now, okay, this is what we talked about in the summer at the Olympics. Like, next level. And Luka has to start to buy into that because he's been this magician, this prodigy for so long that it doesn't seem like he understands the sacrifices it takes to become, you know, that champion and that finals MVP.
See, I watched it, man, and I came in here. I was telling, I said, man, the dude looked like he's hurt. Like, you know, you go work out, Chris.
I love this example.
You work out that first day, and then you wake up. Well, you work out on Monday. Tuesday you wake up, you're a little sore, but Wednesday you wake up and you're like, damn, I can't move. That's how Luka look every time he run up and down the court, especially on defense.
Yes, and he's too young for that.
Hell yeah.
Right? Like, that's the – and the thing is, B. Mitch, it's been like that for 2 years. I think to your point, people see the highlights. So even if you take highlights from that game and show Luka offensively, you'd be like, oh, look at the crazy shots he's hitting because he's that talented. He really is that talented of a basketball player, but it's a professional athlete. If I thought about it, what's my man that played for the Mets, Vogelbach, the guy that hits the home runs but like has a big belly and you're like, man, is he really a good baseball player? Like, that's kind of like Luka's kind of that, but he obviously doesn't have a big belly, but that's who he is on the basketball court, where you're like, this guy? Oh, right?
He kind of looked a little doughboy to me.
Yo, they list that dude Vogelbach at 270, which is big. I'm taking the over.
I took my wife to a Braves game. We sat behind home plate, and she was like, what is – she was laughing at him, and he looked at her and popped his bubble gum. First pitch, home run, and looked back at us. And I was like, that's hilarious.
That's gangster, dude. Crazy, yeah, man. That's cool. Yeah. All right, we are talking with our
– You were like, baby, stop. I want to fight this big dude.
It was funny because it wasn't that many people there. Like, so she's sitting there. She's like, what's happening? Like, she couldn't she's not a baseball fan, right? And we're that close. And I'm like, shh, he can hear you. What are you doing?
Talking with our friend Chris Miles here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. You can follow Miles at Chris Miles TV on Twitter and Instagram. All right, let's get to the actual games that are going to be played. You think the Warriors close out the Rockets tonight? And if so, how do we rank this as an upset? Like, obviously, the Rockets are the 2 seed. Yeah. They had a really good regular season, but you're running up against Steph and Draymond and what Golden State is.
Well, and this is what I mean about out West and why, like, the play-in is a bigger thing out West than it is in the East. Like, I'm looking at the regular season standings right now, and 4 wins separate the Warriors from the Rockets. And I bet if I looked into like the post Jimmy Butler trade records, I would imagine the Warriors, if they didn't have an equal record to the Rockets, they might have had a better record, right? With Jimmy Butler on the floor. So I think the Rockets, Amen Thompson is the guy that I'm highest on, watching him play in overtime, the lead. And I've been trying to tell people about him for years in a sense of like, yo, this guy's amazing. He was in the G League and people are like, what are you talking about, Chris? I think that when you watch him and Jalen Green in game 1 of this series, it set the tone of, oh, these kids aren't ready. Mm-hmm. Right? Like they need this year of getting there, feeling what it's like, seeing what it's like, going through the emotions. You know, I talked to Wes Matthews about this. I don't know if you guys remember him. He played for the Lakers and the Bucks and the Trailblazers. And I was like, man, what was it like your first and Danny Green, too, who almost won a Finals MVP. And they were both like, man, the first time I got a playoff game, my mouth, it was like foamy or something. I couldn't breathe.
Damn.
And it took me like a quarter or two because it's different. And I'm like, but it's you playing in the same arenas. It's the same capacity crowd.
That pressure is different, though, bro.
Everything is different.
That pressure is way different.
So he's like, your body, it's not even like you can train your mind, but your body reacts. And he's like, so their whole team is that, right? Mm-hmm, like, you look at the Warriors, they're good. They got Draymond, Jimmy, Steph. You know, their whole squad has been through it. Where you look at Houston, who are they leaning on for that? Fred VanVleet is
Dylan
like the Brooks. Only guy.
Dylan Brooks.
Do people hate him as much as I do?
Yeah.
He's annoying, though.
Yes. God. I mean, he's one of those, when him and Draymond on a court together, I'm like, I don't know if I want to watch this right now. I can't. and you know, what's crazy is we get to work with Draymond, so I watch him on the court, and I'm like, man, when he come in here, how's this going to be? And he comes in, and he's super chill, and he's a funny guy, and I'm like, this is not happening.
That's crazy.
Like, he's more Jalen Rose off the court. You know,
but at least Draymond got skills, though. Draymond might be crazy. He got some skills. Dylan Brooks don't have many skills other than just agitating the hell out of somebody.
I concur with that.
Let's run through stuff before we got to let you go, Miles. Sounds like you like Golden State tonight at home, right?
If I wouldn't bet on that game, but yes. I think that the playing in Golden State is maybe too big for Jalen Green, Amen Thompson, and those guys. I think Shingun, Van Fleet, and Dylan Brooks are not enough to beat the Warriors, depending on Steph's health. Like, I don't know how bad his hand is.
All right. Last year, I wasn't sure of this, and then sure enough, they got knocked out. I don't know that anybody's beaten the Thunder, at least in the West.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Are they ready to take that step?
So here's what I would say. The winner of the Clippers-Nuggets Game 7 tomorrow has the best chance. And what I mean is they have the championship pedigree. They have the talent. If you get in a series with OKC, like, I don't believe in Minnesota, right? Like, I think the Thunder are just going to handle them and they're going to move on. Agreed. I would be absolutely shocked and surprised if that goes 7 or if the Wolves are able to beat the Thunder, Anthony Edwards will be absolutely the face of the NBA. Period.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, it's over. Like, yeah. That means he did something that some Kobe Jordan-esque stuff where we're like, oh, that he took it from everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think, but when I look at Denver, especially like Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, or the way Kawhi Leonard is playing, like those teams got the guys that know how to do it. And the Thunder, I don't know if they have it, if they've proven it yet with their group, where those two groups have that already.
That's fair. That's why we. So those series I will watch with legitimate interest. The Cavs, Pacers, and Knicks, Celtics I will watch with just like digital wallpaper interest. Like I know who's going to win both of those series. But
so you know the Knicks are going to win, huh? You got the Knicks tape.
Miles,
okay.
I love you.
Every
I know
day.
Those are your
nah,
boys.
Nah,
but
man, nah. You know
Justin
better than that.
Butter, greatest Nick ever. Bing bong.
What'd you
I
think
see,
of that?
I think
you're crazy,
What'd
man.
You think of somebody legitimately saying Brunson's the greatest Nick ever? That
you
offend
know,
your
I,
soul?
I, honestly, so here's the thing. It would, and then I'm sitting there watching the game last night with Isaiah Thomas. We are watching. Now, Isaiah went, first of all, I think you guys have heard enough clips from Isaiah to know he just keeps it real, right? Like, it's not like he's going to give you some fake statement. And I was like, hey, what was it like? You know, he was at the game where they called a foul on Josh Hart. He's like, you know, that, yeah, whatever that foul call, but Brunson can score whenever he wants to. I don't know how he does it. And I'm looking at Isaiah like, what you mean you don't know how he does it? And then we start watching the game, and it seemed like everything was falling apart for the Knicks against the Pistons. He's like, Brunson's going to score every time. He's going to score. It's whether or not we can score back, but he's going to score every time.
Wow.
And it was 113, 113. I was like, oh, Asar Thompson, man, Brunson's in trouble. He's like, no, he's not. So to hear Isaiah Thomas say it in that way, I'll keep it 1,000% with you. I love Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing, to me, is the greatest Nick I've ever seen. When he had the ball at the end of games, we didn't feel that way, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's hard to argue against when someone says that hyperbole. I'm not there yet, but if we beat the Celtics now, then I guess we got to start viewing it in that way.
Mm-hmm. If they beat the Celtics, I'll buy you a steak dinner next time I'm in Atlanta.
Uh-oh.
Hey, that sounds good, man. That All sounds right. great, but I'd rather you pay for a round of golf.
Okay, we can do that too. we got to have you on before Cleveland-Boston because I want to know if you think Cleveland has an actual chance. I'm really interested in that series. Cleveland is damn good, but we got to run right now. Thank you, buddy.
I do.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't ask me about my man Giannis, but we'll talk about that next time.
He's going somewhere else. Thank you, dude. Appreciate you.
LA.
Bye.
That's Chris Miles. Give him a follow at Chris Miles TV. Great dude, great broadcaster. Coming up at 1, we're going to open these phone lines up. And Lampville wants to talk about Jalen Ramsey.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40.
period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Shout out to Five Guys. I mean, great burgers. If you missed any of our interview with Chris Miles,
they do.
Check it out on the podcast. Dude, you know what I did the other day? The Junkies talked about something I wanted to listen to. And I was able to do this so easy is I just got on Spotify and went to the Junkies and went to the exact segment. And it was like 2 segments after they talked about something as I was driving downtown. So whoever wants to access our podcast, just know that they're out there wherever you get your regular podcasts.
Yeah.
If you want to listen live, I think you got to be in the Odyssey app. But if you want to just access it, doesn't have to just be through the Odyssey app. You should check out the Odyssey app, too. I'm not saying that, but be where your feet are. How about that one, B?
Yeah.
Lanville has written down here the Commanders' biggest post-draft roster hole. I think everybody would yell that it's...
pass rusher.
Right. I don't think that's incorrect. But I just think last year they didn't really have a plan. They didn't have their own plan.
The one thing that I'm kind of like, where I stick to is, I understand people look for names. But I've been inside of NFL locker rooms enough to understand that there have been a bunch of people step in. Nobody know who they are. By the end of the season, you're like, who the hell is this? You know what I mean? Those things happen. And coaches find guys like my man, the 7th round draft pick last year, Jean-Paul, whatever.
Oh, Jean-Baptiste.
Sorry. Yeah. They see something in him. And if he starts to play well, nobody's going to remember he was a 7th round draft pick. Nobody's going to care. 6th round, nobody's going to care. But we always compare what we have to somebody else's guy. And most of those guys, some of them got drafted in the 1st round. A lot of them were unnamed players, too. Then they made themselves into somebody. Why not think that we can't? You know, I keep going back to this. I believe this coaching staff knows how to develop talent. What if they find somebody? But I don't think that Adam has stopped looking. He didn't do it because at the point when he was getting picks, he didn't think that I'm not just reaching for somebody. Just to say I got an outside guy. I got Trey Amos. I'm taking him. He's probably one of the top corners in this damn draft. I'm taking him. Then he came out, I'm going to take Jalen Lane because he's an athlete and he can fill the position we need. Our return guy may end up being a damn good receiver for you too. He made picks based off of what he felt was something. This is the best move to make at the moment. I'm not just grabbing edge rushers just because people think I'm supposed to. And I agree with that. Because you got coaches that you feel should be able to make it happen.
If you look at Javonte Jean-Baptiste, 6'5", 260, 7th rounder last year, started his college career at Ohio State, then went to Notre Dame for a season, Finished last year with just a sack in 12 games, 13 tackles. But he started to show more and more as the year went on. I think they like him. I think they like Wise too, B. And, you know, Wise is a guy where I know he had an 8-sack season. I don't believe he's had a double digit. Yeah. But Wise is consistent off that edge. And he's one thing I can't help notice. Wise is 6'5". Baptiste is 6'5". Jalen Holmes, 6'5". Whether it's Peters or Quinn, or it might be Daryl Tapp, who's the defensive line coach, whoever it is, they clearly like these long, rangy dudes on the edge.
Even Andre Carter is about 6'4", 6'5".
Andre Jones?
Jones and Carter.
I bet he is. Now, maybe that's like the average height. White Brian, see if you can look up average height of DNs. Andre Jones Jr., 6'5", 260. Now, Wise, though, is a little bit different because he's an 8-year veteran. All with the Patriots. I mean, he won a Super Bowl with Belichick, probably lost a Super Bowl with Belichick, and super, super durable. Has never played fewer than 14 games in a season.
I like that.
And just in the last 3 years, 7.5 sacks, 4.5 sacks, 5 sacks.
Okay.
I don't know, but I could tell you that production looks pretty similar to Dante Fowler's. So in the 3 seasons before Fowler got to Washington, he had 4.5 sacks, 6 sacks, 4 sacks. Wise, 7.5, 4.5, 5. The one really big difference in these resumes is prior to last year, Fowler did have a double-digit sack season, 11.5 back in 2019. And Fowler's a first-round pick. He was the number 3 overall pick, so that name value sticks around, whether it should or shouldn't.
Yeah.
Wise was a fourth-rounder. So, he's never had the big name. But I almost want to try to do this math on the fly, so stick with me here. 8 years, 126 games, 34 sacks for Wise. All right, so Fowler's first 8 years in the league. Now, it's going to be a lot more games. It was 100. What's 142 minus 17? 125. I also need a new pen. The ink is like running on this thing and staining the table, but that's a problem for future us. 8 years, 125 games. What's 55 minus 10.5? 55 and a half minus 10.5 is 45?
Yeah.
In their first 8 years in the NFL, in 8 years, all with the Patriots, Wise played 126 games, has 34 total sacks. In 8 years, on a number of different teams, Jacksonville, the Rams, the Falcons, the Cowboys, in almost the same amount of games, Fowler had 45 sacks. Now
And Fowler was probably playing more time than Butchcom was.
Almost the entire difference stems from the 2019 season for the L.A. Rams, where Fowler got 11.5 sacks, and I would point out Aaron Donald was on that defensive line.
So he was being doubled.
So I'm just saying, if you want to find similarities, there they are. Fowler was 6'3", 260. Wise, by the way, 6'5", 280. And I think I really like Dante Fowler. I thought he was a really interesting character. We only got to cover him for a year, but just he was funny and different, and I enjoyed him. But he wasn't that great against the run. I think he was a liability against the run as the season went on. Wise, supposed to be good at it, or at least better. I just think that production is really not that different. But since we have a conversation about every player that eventually might become available, I think in the NFL, it's fair to have that conversation about Jalen Ramsey. Sure seems like he's going to get released from the Dolphins.
But maybe my question at this point.
Well, ask it when we come back. You're listening. Okay.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're going to open the phone lines up for the first time all day at 1 o'clock. Ask B. Mitch anything.
Anything
you want to ask. He's an NFL legend. He'll give you, if there's one thing I know about Brian, he's going to give you his honest opinion one way or another. We were kind of talking here. I started tweeting out some numbers. I do think there's some interesting similarities between Dietrich Wise and maybe Dante Fowler coming into last year. Fowler had played 8 seasons, 45 sacks. He had one double-digit sack season, and that happened to be when he was with the Rams and Aaron Donald. Wise has been pretty productive, but never had a double-digit sack season. He's coming to Washington after 8 years. See what happens. I know that some folks want to talk about Jacob Martin.
Yeah.
I'm not as enthusiastic as others. I know you like what you've seen in him.
I like him. I look at some stuff. He has that ability. So I'm hoping that making the inside a little bit more stout and sturdy,
sure,
may allow those guys on the outside to get home more often.
Well, and then, like, any NFL player that has becomes available, for lack of a better word, we at least kick it around. And Jalen Ramsey is now the guy becoming available.
Not interested.
Why not?
It's been a problem for how many years? He hasn't been that top-notch corner that he was earlier in his career. And I think
he was phenomenal, especially back in the Jags days.
Yeah, and then back in the Rams days, he were. But he's not that anymore. Right now, you just got Amos. You have
Lattimore
here already. You got Mikey. You know, there are a few other guys on the roster. You bring him here to start. You go. How much you gonna pay him? What are you gonna ask for?
I mean, I think Miami's just gonna have to cut him and eat the deal because you're not gonna find a trade partner. And they pretty obviously just want to get rid of him.
If he was as good as he was, there's no way people wouldn't trade for him.
Yeah. Dude, I'm gonna look at the market here. If they end up cutting him, he's got $24 million guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to take a $30 million dead money hit. Now, they'll get some back in cap savings, but, like, if Miami is going to release this dude, it's because they don't want to deal with him. And I don't know the Miami situation. They got a bunch of guys that seems like it's difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
So maybe you get rid of Ramsey and that makes it simpler for a lot of the rest of it. It's just not a business I'm looking to be in. And I think Washington did such a great job of building. I mean, they talk about it, brotherhood. Like, they're not scared to go that route and have the conversations about, you know, character and personality and fitting in and everybody being on the same board. And I don't see that as a fit. Ramsey now is going to be a 31-year-old corner. He didn't play all 17 games last year. He's been fairly durable, especially for a corner in his career. And he's been really good, which is what matters most. That's a no for me.
Something's going on where a guy of that caliber wants. Now people are like, he may just be out on the street.
Yeah. I mean, what's that cost you? And maybe you get a deal because Miami's covering so much of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get a deal for long.
If you get a hell of a deal, I see a possibility. You're not getting a deal, I say just, you know, you're about to make a right turn. And you realize I'm going too fast to make that turn, speed up.
But, dude,
drive right past him.
Even if it's a deal for a year, and then he's going to want a new deal, and then you're dealing with some of the stuff that clearly these other teams dealt with.
Yeah. So, no, keep moving.
I'll open this to the aquarium. Does anybody in there want them to go after Jalen Ramsey? Sounds pretty quiet.
Crickets.
I don't know if I want him to go. If he fall to us, we can get him for the low. Let's go ahead. But as far as us chasing,
So you'd be interested if he hits free agency and it's like a veteran minimum type deal?
Yeah, why not? See if he can still play. It still builds out. Secondary, and I don't know. I just think it's probably just my thought process, but I just think if they have vets in there and they're drafting young DBs, that's a good thing, because when them vets roll out, young the DBs them got all the knowledge.
What about you, B? Free agent, veteran minimums, not costing you really much of anything.
I mean, look, something like that, I'll take a chance with it. But, I mean, if I got other young guys that I have a lot of confidence in and I can keep building them for the next 3 to 4, that I can keep them around, no. Because I think, listen, man, I've been on teams with headaches, okay?
Yeah.
And those headaches are not as easy to overcome. Just that. Many people think, oh, you get past it. Not all the time, you won't.
You know where you get past it? If everything goes well, if, like, you know what happened last year in Washington?
Damn, everything went well. Yeah.
You hit a Hail Mary. You won a game on the last play against Philly.
Six games in a row on the last play, our last drive.
Right.
A lot of stuff went right.
When things are going right, it's easy to have the dude that's a bit different, maybe a little bit of a pain in the ass, because everybody's just having fun and chilling.
Well, even that guy, when things are going right, he jumps on board.
Right. But if things start to go wrong, and then you got a dude that's pain in the ass,
he becomes a bigger one.
Yeah.
People are always like, oh, man, he got money now. No. When people become more of what they are when they get more money.
Jeffrey, I know how much money you got. Press the button. Open the phones. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. 1067. It's time to ask B. Mitch anything.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.